Are you ever ashamed of the good news about Jesus? Maybe you wouldn't say ashamed, but are you ever embarrassed, hesitant to talk about the gospel? Do you ever think, I can't talk about that in front of these clever people, I'd look daft? Are you afraid of what people might think? A lot of Christians are. Apostle Paul, he's a seasoned servant of Jesus. He's written a letter to the believers in Rome. He's told them who he is, he said who the letter's for, and he's expressed some good wishes to them. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just the way they started letters in those days. But before he gets down to the heavy stuff, he wants the believers in Rome to know that he's heard what's been going on with them and that he wants to come and visit them. Actually, you can tell he's busting to get there, and he has been for a long time. He's preached the gospel in lots of other places, and he wants to come to Rome to bless them and to do them good. He's seen souls saved in other places. He's seen churches planted. He's seen believers built up. He's seen churches growing. And he wants to see that happening in Rome as well. He wants to go to Rome to preach the gospel. Paul, you see, he's obsessed with the gospel. God's good news about Jesus. That's what we mean when we talk about the gospel. It's his calling to preach it. It's what he does. It's all that he does. It's who he is, and it's all that matters to him. He's under a constant obligation to spread that good news. He's Paul, the good news man. So let's read now from Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 16. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel, says Paul. I'm not sure why Paul thought he had to say that. I mean, can you even in your wildest dreams imagine Paul being ashamed of the gospel? Maybe it was that some people were saying, oh, you're the big man, Paul. You can preach the gospel, but you wouldn't come to Rome to do it. Because you see, Rome was the place. Rome was where all the powerful people were. Rome was where the smartest people were, or so they thought. And maybe some people were saying, that good news that you have, Paul, it's okay for the country bumpkins. It's okay out in the sticks. You're safe out there, but you wouldn't come to Rome with it. Are you ever ashamed of the good news about Jesus? Now be honest. Maybe you wouldn't put it like that. Maybe you wouldn't say ashamed, but are you ever embarrassed? Hesitant to talk about the gospel? Do you ever think, I can't talk about that in front of these clever people, I'd look daft? Are you afraid of what people might think? A lot of Christians are. Well, Paul wasn't one bit ashamed. He was ready to go right to the heart of the mighty Roman Empire with his good news. He was ready to go anywhere. In fact, not ashamed. He was proud of the gospel. He just loved to proclaim that good news about the Lord Jesus. Christian, do not be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be embarrassed by it. Don't feel threatened or inferior before anybody. Don't think these people don't want to hear my good news, I'd be laughed at. Don't think these are very clever people and I tell them my simple good news about Jesus and I look silly. Don't think my news isn't good enough for important people like these. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. You can be proud of the good news that God has given you to tell in the world, the good news about Jesus. So I'm going to tell you this morning why Paul wasn't ashamed. Three reasons that Paul himself gives in this passage. And maybe hearing those reasons will help you. And if you're not a Christian, don't think you're being left out this morning. I want you to listen to this as well, because you're about to learn what's so good about this good news that you hear Christians talking about all the time. At least I hope you hear Christians talking about it all the time. You're about to hear why this good news is so important, and you're about to hear why you need to pay heed to it. So you listen to this. Anyway, the first reason. I am not ashamed of the gospel for or because it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And let me make that a little bit more straightforward for you. I am not ashamed of the good news about Jesus because it's the powerful way God saves people. It's a powerful message and God saves people when they hear it. It's no easy thing for a man or woman to be saved. I hope you realize that. You might think it is, but it's not. People do not naturally turn their backs on sin and go after God. Well, you've seen that, haven't you? Powerful forces are against it happening. For one thing, the whole world is against it, pulling and pushing us to be like everybody else. The world's against it. The devil is against it. He doesn't want people to be saved, and he's always there tempting us and sowing doubts in our minds. And most of all, worst of all, our own nature is against it. We're born sinful and self-centered and rebellious. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and were by nature children of wrath. Sin is a trap that we can't get ourselves out of. That's why saved is such a good word, by the way. People need to be saved from sin because they're stuck in it and there's nothing they can do about it. If people are to be saved, they need to be saved in a powerful way. And God's powerful way to do it, his powerful way to save people, is the good news about Jesus, the gospel. Now, I can't explain to you how it works. It's something the Holy Spirit does in a person's heart. We've just got to take God's word for it. People are powerfully saved through hearing the good news about Jesus. As they hear, somehow God is at work inside them, giving the ability to believe what they hear. He puts new life into them so that they can turn their backs on sin and go forward with him. As people hear the good news, they are born again. Now, you Christians, you know this. If you think back in your own experience to when you were saved, or you think of some of the testimonies you've heard from other Christians over the years, it's how it happened. You heard the good news and something came alive inside you. You might have heard it lots of times before and nothing happened, but as the good news was being preached on this occasion, you came alive and it suddenly was full of meaning. You were able to see it. You saw your need, you saw the hope, and you began to want to respond to it, and you did. The gospel then, the good news about Jesus, is the powerful way that God saves people. And did you notice too that Paul says the gospel is the power of God to save? It's not a power, it's the power. There's no other way that it can happen. So Christian, if you want to see people saved, tell them the good news about Jesus. Nothing else is going to work. There's nothing else you can do. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Can I just say before we leave this point, don't underestimate the gospel either. The way Paul puts it, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God to salvation. And I think that's saying more than the gospel is the powerful way God saves people. You could also put it like this. The gospel releases the power of God to save people. Now think about the power of God for a minute. The power that made the universe out of nothing. Just spoke and there it was. The power that raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, the power that holds all things in existence every single moment of every single day, power that's stronger than any other power you can imagine. Nuclear explosion is just a spark in comparison. An earthquake, it's just a tiny wobble. Power that can't be defeated by any army or any argument, power that can break the hardest heart of the most wicked sinner, irresistible power. The gospel, this good news, it's dynamite. You know, there's nobody beyond saving. The hardest, most reprobate sinner you can think of can be saved through hearing the gospel. The most militant atheist, Richard Dawkins, or whoever you like to think of there, could be saved. And if they are saved, it won't be because somebody has come up with a clever argument or manipulates them with some tearjerker of a story. It'll be because they hear that simple good news about Jesus, and as they're listening to it, boom, the power of God saves them. Every objection will be swept away, and they'll cry out to God, begging him to save them. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be embarrassed by its simplicity. Don't underestimate it. Don't lose confidence in it. And if people resist it, just keep telling them the good news about Jesus. It's dynamite. The power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, Jews, Gentiles, the whole world. Wherever you go in the world, whatever language they speak, whatever their culture or beliefs, whether they're rich or poor or clever or daft, the gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. That's the first reason. Here's the second one. Paul's second reason for not to be ashamed of the gospel, and this also is why the gospel is so powerful. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation for or because in it the righteousness of God is revealed. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Now, what's that about? Well, there are at least three ways you could take it, that term, the righteousness of God. And any one of them actually would be possible, and any one of them fits to some extent. Paul, when he talks about the righteousness of God, could be talking about the righteousness that God has. God is righteous. He's perfectly righteous. He's without fault. He's without sin. There's no hint or trace of anything impure in God. He's perfect in all his ways. He's perfect in justice, perfect in goodness, perfect in love. It's hard to imagine that, isn't it? It's totally outside of our experience. It's a different class altogether. God is perfect in holiness. Well, that's one way of understanding what Paul means when he writes here about the righteousness of God. That righteousness that God has. And the gospel tells us about that. That's the first thing it does. It tells us about God and how righteous and how pure, how holy he is. But on its own, it's hardly good news, is it? I mean, what does it do for you, finding out about the righteousness of God? When you hear about how righteous God is, doesn't it leave you feeling, well, what would that kind of a God want to do with the likes of me? Because I know I'm not righteous. Not good news. Then there's the kind of righteousness that God has. There's also a kind of righteousness that God demands of us. God demands that if we are to have anything to do with him, we have got to be just as righteous as he is. The gospel tells us that as well. But that's not good news really on its own, is it? In fact, it's very bad news. It's not possible to be as righteous as God is. There's no way it's possible. Not in a million years could I ever be as righteous as God is. And then there's a third way that you can take that little phrase, the righteousness of God. There's a righteousness, a kind of righteousness that God gives to people. Now, Paul's going to explain this in a lot more detail later in this letter. Remember, we're still only in what's the introduction to the letter, so we're not getting too deep into it. Don't be looking for all the answers to all the questions just yet. But the fact is that God gives righteousness to people. He gives people the kind of righteousness that he has as a gift. He gives them the kind of righteousness that he demands as a gift. Wow, that is good news, isn't it? Could it be possible that there's a way for the likes of me to be righteous enough to please God? Is there a way for me to have the righteousness of God? Well, Paul would say, yeah, there most definitely is. And my gospel, Paul would say, the good news about Jesus is where you're going to hear about that. And that's another reason why I'm not ashamed of it. Paul will have a lot more to say about this, which is good because it does raise all kinds of questions, and you're probably thinking of some of them now, even as I'm talking. Not least, how can God say that sinners are innocent when clearly they're not? But Paul goes a little bit further. Maybe this is just to whet our appetites. He says, in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. Now that little phrase is really hard for us to get our heads around, isn't it? What does that mean, from faith to faith? It's tortured many a preacher, not least this one. I think the best way to see that little phrase is to see it as a Greek idiom. You know what an idiom is? An idiom is a way of speaking. It's a saying that's in common use, a saying that you might hear used a lot, but you can't work out what it means from the individual words. You just know what it means. It's like saying, I'm over the moon. You know what that means, don't you? It's an idiom. I'm over the moon. You know what it means, but if you looked at the words and took them literally, And how would you translate that into another language so that people in another country could understand the words, I'm over the moon, or explain the phrase to somebody who's never heard it before? I think from faith to faith is one of those sayings. It's an idiom that was probably in common use in Paul's day, and I think the best way to understand it is the way the New International Version translates it. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. You might just have to take my word on that for now, but Paul's going to prove it later in the letter. I keep saying, we're in the introduction. You'll be satisfied before we finish this. Hang in there. The point for now is this. The gospel, only the gospel, tells us how God gives righteousness to those who have faith in him. How God gives this gift of righteousness to those who have faith in him, to those who trust him, to those who just take him at his word. Good news. isn't it? And another reason not to want to keep that good news to yourself. It's another reason not to be ashamed, because everybody so desperately needs that righteousness that God gives to those who believe in him. Without it, we're hopelessly lost. Everybody desperately needs that righteousness that's revealed in the gospel. Because, and in this, there's another reason, I think this is number three, another reason why Paul is not ashamed of the gospel. Everybody desperately needs that righteousness because, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. There's another one needs a bit of explanation. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. He says, as it is written, because he's quoting from the Old Testament. It's from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, the just shall live by faith. God has said, the just shall live. Those who are righteous, those who are without fault, shall live. Those who are without fault in the eyes of God, those who are righteous like God is, those who have the kind of righteousness that God demands, they and they only shall live, God has said. God has said the just shall live by faith. They shall live because they trust God. They shall live because they take him at his word and act like they do. That's what it means to have faith. And the reason they are just, and the reason that they shall live, is that God gives righteousness to those who have faith in him, according to the gospel. So that, as I say, is yet another reason why Paul is not ashamed of the gospel. If people are to live, they've got to have that righteousness that God gives to those who trust him. And they can only find out about it in the gospel. If you withhold the gospel, if you keep it to yourself, you're condemning people to death, eternal death, cut off from God death, death without hope. And when you tell other people the good news about Jesus, whether or not they are saved has nothing to do with the cleverness of your argument or your powers of persuasion. It has nothing to do with you knowing the right thing to say. In fact, what you say may seem foolish as the world looks at it. Don't worry about that. It's meant to, Paul wrote in his letter to the church in Corinth. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 1, start at verse 18. He says to the church there, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. He said, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached, the gospel, to save those who believe. Do you get that? It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached through the gospel to save those who believe. And that's why Paul went on to write, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power. When you tell other people the good news about Jesus, you might sound foolish to them. They might laugh. You might feel weak and inadequate. You might do it in fear and in trembling. Even Paul did. But when you tell people the good news about Jesus, you're handling something powerful. It's dynamite. It's the power of God to save people. It's the only hope they have. There's no other way to be saved, no matter who they are. There's no other way. It's the only way they will ever know about the righteousness of God. It's the only way that they can become righteous in the way that God demands. And that message is for everyone who trusts in Him. Don't worry about what anybody else might say or think. Just tell them the good news they need to hear and keep telling it. It's a message to be proud of. And if you're not saved, well, as I said at the beginning, this good news about Jesus, it's something that you really ought to pay heed to. Because according to Paul here, there is no other way to be saved. And oh, you do need to be. There is a standard of righteousness, God's righteousness, that has to be attained if we want to know Him, if we want to be saved. We have got to be perfectly righteous as He is. That's not good news. The good news is that there is a way that you can be. And it's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by taking Him at His word and acting like you do. You're going to have to answer to God someday. And you won't have a leg to stand on. Because as it is, you're dead in your sin. But there is a way that you can be made alive. You can be made clean. You can be made pure. You can be made as righteous as God Himself is. Yes, you can. All you have to do is trust Him. Take Him at His word. Live like you do. Isn't that good news? And isn't that a great message for us to tell to a world that so desperately needs to hear it? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this simple message of good news. Good news that the Lord Jesus came into this sinful world, died, gave His life, so that people who are sinful can be made righteous and can be made alive. Oh Lord, we pray that what we have heard about this morning, as we take it away and think about it, that we would get fired up with this. That we would be just bursting, as Paul was bursting to go to Rome to preach the good news there, that we would be bursting to tell other people the good news about Jesus. Amen.